The title of this message is The Mystery. The Mystery of Christ. And no one knows better than I the difficulty, yea, impossibility of any man speaking fully on the mystery of Christ. How complex, how mysterious is our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reading Isaiah, and in the same scripture in which he calls the Lord Jesus a child, unto us a child is born. In that same scripture, he calls him the Counselor. And he calls him a son. He said, unto us a son is given. And in the same scripture in which he calls him a son, he calls him the Everlasting Father. How mysterious. He calls him in his writings a man of sorrows. And then the Mighty God. Think of it. A man of sorrows. Is the Mighty God. In one scripture, he said his garments are rolled in blood. In another, blood is splattered on his garments, the blood of his enemies. And yet he's called here the Prince of Peace. It says he's despised and rejected of men, and yet the government is on his shoulders. There's no beauty that we should desire him, and yet one day every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that he's Lord. Every knee, in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue in heaven, earth, and under the earth will confess he's the Lord. Now that kind of language from God's prophet ought to remind us of the necessity of carefully, prayerfully studying the person and work of Jesus Christ. Something that my generation, your generation, discounts, Bible study. This ought to remind us when we read of the mystery of Christ, how unsearchable are his ways and paths finding out. Ought to remind us of the necessity of carefully studying and rightly understanding the work of Jesus Christ. The person of Christ and the work of Christ. We're saved by look. But to whom we look is important. We're saved by look, but to whom we look. He said, I am a just God and a Savior, therefore look unto me and be ye saved. We don't just look to a Savior, we look to the Savior. The just God and the Savior, the only Savior. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding. That's what's lacking. That's what's important, an understanding that we may know him that's true and that we're in him that is true. And this is the true and living God. When Paul gave us that great definition of faith over in 2 Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed. I know who he is. I know whence he came. I know why he came. I know what he did. I know where he is now. I know whom I have believed. I look to him. And I'm persuaded through his word and promises that he's able to keep that which I've committed. So saving faith involves three things: a knowledge of who he is, the mysterious Christ and what he did and his power and where he is now. Let's look at this text in Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto us, sinners, sons of Adam, unto us, Gentiles, 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 unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is not repetition. This is the mystery of Christ. This is essential. This is not repetition. This is essential, both statements. Jesus Christ is a child born, a child conceived in the womb by the Holy Spirit of a virgin. Shapen, formed in holiness. Brought forth, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Second Adam from above. Son of man, subject to the law. And yet Son of God. Mystery. Unto us a child is born, just like any other child. Even more lowly, because he was born of a Jewish maiden, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, surrounded by cattle, shepherds, born in a lowly fashion. And yet a son of God is given. Our Lord asked the Pharisees, the religious leaders, he said, what think ye of the Christ? What do you think of Christ? Do you know anything about Christ? What do you think of him? Oh, they said, he's the son of David. He said, well, then how is it that David called him Lord? How can he be David's Lord and be David's son? Tell me, how can he, you don't understand the mystery? How can he be David's God, be David's son? They couldn't answer. That's the reason they had no rest. That's the reason they had no salvation. That's the reason they had no faith. They didn't know who he was. They were looking to the Bible. They were looking to the doctrines. They were looking to the law. They were looking to the ceremonies, but they didn't know who this is. In Romans, Paul said this, I'm a servant of God. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm separated to the gospel. I'm separated to the good news. The gospel, it's the power of God to save. And that gospel, listen, is concerning his son, who was made of the seed of David, who was declared to be the Son of God. He wasn't made the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He was made of the seed of David. By him we have access to God, the Son who was made flesh. In John 1, John starts his book, which is a book of which the theme is the Son of God. He starts it this way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was God, dwelt among us. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And we beheld his glory. The glory of God. Is this true? Is this true that God became a man? Is this true that God came to this earth in the form of a man? Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. God became a man, despised, rejected, no beauty that we should desire him. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Subject to every temptation and trial to which the flesh is subject, yet without sin. Is this true? The scriptures declare it is. Behold, God will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. Bring forth a child, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Scripture says that. The angels declare it. The angels said to the shepherds on that morning, in which Christ was born. They said, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We bring you glad tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you, unto us, a child is born. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is none other than the Lord. The angel said that. The Father said it so. The Father said when he was baptized of John in the River Jordan, said, this is my beloved Son. This is the Son of my love, in whom I'm well pleased. When he was transfigured on the Mount with Peter, James, and John looking on, his clothes glistened with the glory of God. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son. Hear ye him. His mighty works bore witness to who he is. He made the blind to see and the dead to live. And even Nicodemus said, no man can do these miracles. No man. Except God be with him. This is true. Well, here's another question. If it's true, what then? If unto us, for us, is born a child, the Son of God, a Savior. If that's true, I have a high priest and a mediator with God. If this is true, I have a high priest by whom I can come to God and experience forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Secondly, I have a ransom. The debt is paid. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I've found a ransom. I have a ransom. God can be just and justify me. This is true. If this is true, I have a righteousness. That's the purpose for this man coming. In one man, we became sinners. In this other man, we became righteous. In one man, our souls were lost. In this man, our souls restored. In one man, we died. In this man, we live. If this is true, I have a righteousness. Fourthly, if this is true, I have a hope of resurrection. I have a hope of resurrection because he said that he's the resurrection and the life. This is true. God became a man, a Savior, a Redeemer. I have a high priest. I have a righteousness. I have a ransom. And I have a hope of resurrection. But now, if this is not true, if this story is not true, here's my third question. If it's not true, what then? Well, if this is not true, if there's no man in glory, there'll be no men in glory. If there's no forerunner, there'll be no followers. If there's no Lord of hosts who can come to the gates and hear them say, open up ye gates, lift up ye doors, the Lord of hosts is coming in. Who's this Lord of hosts? These gates have been closed for all these centuries. It's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of hosts. Strong and mighty. Now, if he didn't come in, I have no mediator. I have no representative. I've got to stand by myself before God. I'm glad that old song's not true. You got to stand the judgment trial. You got to go there by yourself. That is not what I intend to do. But if this is not true, I have no mediator, I have no high priest, I have no ransom. I owe a debt I can't pay. I'm bankrupt. I have no atonement. I have no righteousness. I've got to meet God in my filthy garments. Horrible thought.
and I have no hope of a resurrection. If Christ be not risen,
the dead rise not.
So, my friends, I'm going to keep, till God takes my last breath away, I'm going to keep looking into this mystery, believing it, trusting it, resting in it, clinging to it, trying to understand more of it. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And look at what it says here. And the government shall be on his shoulders. What's that saying? It's saying he reigns. The Lord thy God reigneth. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns. He prayed, Father, thou hast given me all power over all flesh, so that I can give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. The reason he can give is because he has all power. The reason he can conquer is because he has all power. The reason he shall not fail nor be discouraged is he has all authority. All things in creation and the universe are his. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Let's read it. All things in creation, all things in the universe are his. Verse 15, Colossians 1 says, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the visible revelation of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or demons or evil spirits or good spirits or angels or seraphims or cherubims or men. All things are created by him and for him. And by him, he's before all things, and by him all things are held together. The government's on his shoulders. Government of creation, the government of the universe. And I'll tell you another kingdom and government that's on his shoulders. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And that's God's kingdom. Kingdom of grace. Kingdom of redemption. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. Verse 24. Watch it now. The government's on his shoulders. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, to the Father, even the Father. When he, Christ, shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power, he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He'll do it. He shall not fail. Nor be discouraged till he has set judgment on the earth. For he, the Father, hath put all things under the Son, his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it's manifest that only the Father is accepted, which did put all things under him. Only one thing that's not under the Son. That's the Father. He's sovereign. And then I hear preachers say, won't you let Jesus have his way? He will. Won't you let Jesus in your heart? If he wants in, he'll come in. He has all authority. All power is given. Well, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. And the salvation of his people. The Father quickeneth whom he will, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. God declares the end from the beginning. He knows the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every man that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Government's on his shoulders. He's in charge. The Lord thy God reigneth. Look at the next word there. And his name shall be called Wonderful. You remember when Manoah and his wife when the angel appeared to Manoah's wife and said, God's going to give you a son, and he'll judge Israel. His name will be Samson. He'll be God's man, God's judge, a powerful man. The angel appeared to her and told her that. She went, the angel of the Lord, she told her husband, and he said, well, if he appears to you again, ask him to stay. I want to hear what he has to say, how we shall take care of this child. So the angel of the Lord appeared again to Manoah's wife, and she sent for her husband. He came, the two of them, and the angel of the Lord again repeated his promise, how this boy was to be raised. He's going to be God's judge. And they offered a sacrifice. They slew a lamb and offered a sacrifice by the angel of the Lord's instruction. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what's your name? And the angel of the Lord said, why do you ask my name? Seeing that it's, what did he say? Wonderful. Wonderful. And then when the sacrifice began to burn on the altar and the smoke ascended to heaven, the angel of the Lord got in the smoke and ascended to heaven. Who was that? That was Christ. That was Christ. No ordinary angel would tamper with a sacrifice. No ordinary angel would get in a sacrifice. But that was Christ. The sacrifice. Wonderful. Oh, he's wonderful. He's wonderful, someone said, in his antiquity. Glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Let me read you a scripture talking about our Lord. Listen to this. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass on the face of the depth, I was there. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, I was there. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was there. I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That's our Lord. That's this child born, this son given, this one with the government, this one who is called Wonderful. Wonderful. See that old man sitting there under the tree? Gray hair and wrinkles. That old man can tell you stories of days you've just heard about. He lived. But what is his age compared to that tree under which he sits? Well, that tree has been the resting place of horses and men stopping in its shade for 200 years. But what is the life of that tree compared to the rock on which that old man sits? That rock could tell you about the flood and how the world was disturbed by the hand of God. But what is the age of that rock compared to the angels who watched God make it? And what is the age of the angels compared to our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the beginning was with God and was God? Marvelous. Wonderful in his antiquity. Wonderful in his incarnation. Behold, I show you a mystery. Without contradiction, God became a man. Think of it. Wonderful in his death, that he should die is a mystery. But that he should die as he died, for whom he died, that's the mystery of mysteries. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh, and became obedient unto death,
even I say the death of the cross. Is it any wonder God has highly exalted him? Can't say enough about him. Can't say enough about him, his glory, the mystery. They bring Barabbas out of his prison. Barabbas, noted thief, robber, murderer, convicted felon. They bring him out of his prison where he's been awaiting crucifixion. His eyes blink in the sun, which he hasn't seen for a long time. Ugly, ravaged by sin. They take off his chains, unsnap his shackles, tell him to go free. This old worthless, no good, vile varmint goes free, walks down the hillside, and looks back on a hill called Mount Calvary. And there in his place, on his cross, hangs the Son of God. He's free because he died. And he died to set him free. And that's me. Barabbas. Wonderful. Oh, wonderful in his death. Wonderful in his resurrection. The women came to the tomb and the angel said, "Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not here. He's risen. His name is wonderful." Listen, his name is Counselor. The world is full of people who think they have the answers. I often say when I see them interviewing these sports stars and other stars and asking them questions about how to live, and I say, let them play ball and keep quiet. Because they can hit a ball over a fence doesn't mean they have the answers to how the people ought to live and walk. Just don't interview them. Everybody thinks he's a counselor, an advisor. My friends, there's just one counselor. One. He's the counselor. What's his name? Counselor. Would you know God? He reveals him. Would you know the purpose of God? It's in him. Purpose of God given us in Christ before the world began. Would you know the way to God? He's the way, the truth, and the life. Would you have redemption? It's in him, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, broken, weary, tired, discouraged. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He didn't say learn just from me. He said learn of me. And the more you learn of me, the more rest you'll find for yourself. Come to me. I'll give you rest. You'll enter a rest. The rest that's promised. But then you learn of me. You study my person and work and life and words and commandments. You learn of me, and you'll find rest. And the more you learn of me, the more rest you'll find. He's the counselor. When you hear some preacher on the radio or television, and he's preaching the word, and he says, "Now, if you'll call us, we got counselors waiting. Don't call them. Don't do it. Don't do it." A man who preaches the gospel will not tell you to call him. He'll tell you to call on him. Get alone with God. Study him, his word. Be like Mary, sit at his feet. Teach me, Lord. Reveal thyself to me. Listen, I'll hurry. He's wonderful. He's counsel. He's the mighty God.
I don't propose to try to understand the Trinity or to explain the Trinity, except to say our God is one God, and yet He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And don't try to understand the mysteries of the Trinity. Just believe what God says. Turn to one scripture, John 14. There are dozens of them, but here's one. Our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And I'll tell you, if there's a Father, there has to be a Son. If there's an eternal Son, there has to be a Father. And here the Lord Jesus said in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him. He dwells with you and shall be in you. There, the Son says, I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you the Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ took that awesome name to Himself, I Am. When He walked this earth as a man in the flesh, He took that name that God gave Moses. Moses said, when I go down to deliver Israel from Egypt and they ask me who sent me, what's the name of God? What shall I tell them? And God said from heaven, I am that I am. Tell them I am. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born of Mary, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, mysterious person, said, I am. And if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. And one day, He was in the boat asleep. The disciples were fearful because the wind had risen and the waves were dashing against the boat, and they thought the boat was going to sink. And they came back and awakened our Lord, and they said, Master, don't you care if we drown? And He got up from sleep and walked to the front of the boat as the wind blew and the clouds gathered and the waves dashed against that little boat. And He said, be still. And the wind stopped and the waves stopped. Only one who can do that is one who made the wind and made the wave. And the disciples watched Him go back and lie back down. And the scripture said, they said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey Him? I'll tell you, He's the Son of God, and He's the child born, the man Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you this too, everybody else is going to obey Him too. I am and you are. He's going to have His way. Because He's the mighty God. Mystery. And He's the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. I and the Father one. They said, show us the Father. He said, take a good look. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then it says He's the Prince of Peace. Our Lord is called a prince because He's the King's Son. This child born is the King's Son. He's a prince because He's the King's Son. He's a prince because He's the heir. He's a prince because He's exalted to be a prince and a savior. He's the prince because He's superior to all others. And He's the Prince of Peace because He's the author of peace. He's the Prince of Peace because He made peace by His blood. And His peace is a permanent peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God, peace in our hearts, peace among us, and someday, perfect peace. He purchased it. My peace
I give unto you. King of peace.
King of Salem. And it says in verse 7, what's this now? And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. There'll be no end. No end. Turn to Revelation 21. There'll be no end to this peace. All the peace you and I have heard about or experienced has been temporary. It's just really war on hold is all it is. It's still there. But one day, I can't tell you much about heaven. I'm going to leave it with the Apostle Paul, who came back and said, I heard things I can't tell you. But there is something I can tell you. I don't know what's in heaven, but I know what's not in heaven. Here in Revelation 21:4, there's no tears. God will wipe away all tears. No more tears. No more death. There'll be no more death. No more death. There'll be no more sorrow. No more sorrow. No more disappointment. No more unhappiness. Can you imagine that? No more tears. No more death. No more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. No more crying. Crying, why is that separate from tears? Because sometimes we cry without tears. Just hurt. Just hurt in here. Weary. Crying out to God. It won't be necessary. Be no more crying. Be no more pain. No more pain. Because these former things, and what caused these former things? Sin caused them. Will pass away. They're gone. And he that sat on the throne said, I make everything brand new. And he said to me, you write. These words are true. Are they true? If they're true, I have a mediator. If they're not, I don't. If they're true, I have a ransom. If not, I'm lost. If they're true, I have a righteousness before God. If not, I'm standing here in my filthy rags. If they're true, our bodies will be raised. If they're not true, there's no resurrection. And you know why all this will come to pass? Go to my text, and I close with one word. It says in the last line of verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this peace. What's the zeal? All it said about the incarnation of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the love of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the power of Christ, God will perform. He will perform this. His zeal, which is his love for his son, will accomplish it. His zeal will perform it. What a promise. What a blessing. All right.